What is going wrong with the New Orleans Saints? How are they this bad? To discuss that and much more from ProFootballTalk.com, Mike Wilkening joins us once again. Mike, let's start with the Saints, who, like, they look terrible right now.
Well, they look like a team that's playing in spots on both sides of the ball. I think they are having, they haven't really put together a full game. You know, the opening game, you know, I think probably top to bottom, you'd have to say was their best effort. And they gave up a zillion yards to Atlanta. I mean, they had Cleveland beat and lost that game, which I think could be one they really regret. They were okay versus Minnesota. And then, yeah, last night on national television, they really, you know, didn't have, you know, anything going until about the fourth quarter defensively or offensively. So they clearly are having some consistency issues. I think we point to the defense first and foremost, because we know they can score points, but, you know, yesterday was a game where they didn't score points, which put stress on the defense. They finally put in a rally, but it was a little late. You know, look, they probably are still going to be competitive. They get Tampa Bay next week. That's a good matchup. Tampa Bay, I don't think, is a particularly good football team, but they can be dangerous, as they showed yesterday. They're going to have their moments, but are they a threat in the NFC right now? As the way they're playing, the answer is no. They're not a threat, but, you know, they would be interesting to watch in the wild card round. And yeah, that's kind of, I think, the way they were going to be, but you thought maybe they'd show a little bit more than this.
Two other franchises coming off tough losses. Pittsburgh loses to Tampa, and Carolina gets absolutely spanked by Baltimore. A lot of people thought Carolina was going to struggle. They got off to a good start. Mike, are they kind of coming down to earth, and should Steeler fans be concerned at all?
Well, I think the Steelers are sort of in a similar spot that they've been for a while. Their defense, you know, it doesn't get quite the stops it did. And, you know, the gap between them and the teams they typically beat when they were at their best 4 or 5 years ago is narrowed to the point that really, you know, just about any outcome in some of those games isn't a huge surprise. And that's, you know, I mean, they were huge favorites against Tampa yesterday, but, you know, Tampa comes back and wins. I mean, look at the way they lost. They lost in pass defense. They lost on special teams. I mean, they haven't had a real great special teams group in a while. They don't do some of the things that they did well anymore, or great anymore, which just basically we're looking at a team that doesn't have the same margin for error. And that's the way it was last year. It's the way it was probably 2 years ago. In this AFC, which I think is, I mean, frankly, I think the entire league is down. But in this AFC, that still might be enough to get into the postseason. But, you know, they probably are going to regret this loss yesterday. Now, as for Carolina, I think that what we're seeing is a team that has been hit by injuries and has been shown to have some weaknesses, offensive line-wise, things like that. I think, you know, they are a team that they can't give up 30 points and have a chance of winning. They don't. That's just not, you know, it's cliche, but that's not the way that they play. They have to play a defined sort of outcome game where it's got to be in the 2017 range or something along those lines. They can't get into a game where they fall behind. And, you know, and they're really hurting at running back, and that's what they do well. You know, the run, setting up the pass and all those things. The one thing I would say about Carolina is the NFC South as a whole is struggling, and they have a receiver in Kelvin Benjamin who's a pretty good player. And so that's working out okay. But, yeah, they're not in great form right now.
We're joined by Mike Wilkening from Pro Football Talk. Mike, today the Bills announced that Kyle Orton's going to be their starting quarterback. If the answer is Kyle Orton, what's the question for the Buffalo Bills?
The question is, we think we can compete in this division. We can compete in this league. How do we do it? Is E.J. Manuel the guy after four games. And, you know, E.J. Manuel missed some throws yesterday. And I think it's been – I thought E.J. Manuel was quite good in the first game against Chicago. And I don't think he's kind of gone on with it. But I think that's probably the ups and downs of where he is in his career. And, you know, it's been well documented. Team has been sold. It's a head coach in his second year. The general manager, Doug Whaley, is, I believe, in his second or third year. I mean, I think they have to win. And they signed Kyle Orton for a not insignificant amount of money. So this was always an option. And they have moved to sort of put that option in place. Could that be enough for them in this division? You know, in this conference to get in the postseason? I suppose. Again, I don't think this is a great conference, but that being said, I think you could probably only rule out about two teams right now from the playoffs, and that would be Jacksonville and Oakland. I think everybody else probably thinks if certain things go right, they have a shot. Buffalo's among that group, so I can understand why they made this move.
Some things were starting to go right yesterday for the Minnesota Vikings as Teddy Bridgewater looked like a competent NFL quarterback yesterday, throwing for over 300 yards. Is this something for Vikings fans to start getting excited for?
It is. It's a first-round pick playing well. It's an offense that showed some spark. I think the bigger story is that this probably is as bad a loss as Atlanta could have had. I think it says that Atlanta, from a defensive standpoint, that this is kind of where they're going to be, and it's not a good place to be for them. I think it really puts a damper on where they're going. I think it's a real setback. I don't think Minnesota, to me, is a real starter in terms of being in the playoff discussion in the NFC. I thought they were going to be at one point. In fact, I picked them before the season. I'm not convinced that maybe they'll get to that level, and I think it's a very tough game against Green Bay on Thursday. The bigger issue to me is that Atlanta needed to win that game. A team that's going somewhere wins that game. They didn't win that game, and I know they had injuries and all of these things. They gave up 41 points to a team with a rookie quarterback on the road. To me, that's a worse loss than New Orleans' loss. Because New Orleans, Dallas is Dallas. You know what they can do. And I think that was Dallas's. You could argue that might have been the Super Bowl. National TV, they've been embarrassed. I don't know what Atlanta's excuse was. You could say the injuries. But so, yeah, I like what Minnesota did. And that's a best-case ceiling game for them. I mean, and that's awesome for them. But I don't think they're, you know, probably a team that's going to win more than seven or eight games. Atlanta probably has more ambition than that in terms of being a playoff contender. They needed to win that game. They didn't.
Mike Wilkening joins us from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, I want to ask you, looking at the standings, Green Bay, the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, which team do you like the best?
Oh, I like Green Bay. And I think they're the best of those teams. They have... I think the best quarterback, the best offense of that group. Defensively, they're probably close to the best with the Giants there. I think what the Giants have done is nice. It's probably a more true indicator of where they were compared to that 0-6 start last year. You know, they're picking it up, but I don't know if they're, you know, going to be anything more than an 8 or 9-win team. I think Green Bay, at their very best, can be an elite team, and they beat a pretty good Chicago team yesterday without a lot of trouble. I don't think what Dallas is doing, to me, is going to hold up. I just don't think they're good enough defensively. I think they have, won some games. That St. Louis game, I think, was one that they probably... You know, the best thing I could say about that game is it's the type of win you get when you make the postseason. You probably have to steal one or two, and they stole one. But I think that I just worry about their ability to get stops over 16 games. And I think that this Houston game next week for them is a very tough one. And while I just got done saying that I didn't like what I saw from Atlanta, I think Atlanta could go into New York and win this week. Whereas I think Green Bay is probably going to beat Minnesota by two touchdowns.
Mike, one last one for you, for me anyway. I know Mark's got a few other ones. The NFC West, the Cardinals, of course, you know, they had the bye this week, Seattle. San Francisco has kind of been Jekyll and Hyde this year. Most still think Seattle's the team to beat, but what do you make of the Cardinals? A lot of people thought their defense just wasn't going to be able to hold up. Are they just a team that's off to a great start and had a lot of good things fall their way? Or do you think this is a team that's legit and is somebody that could maybe even compete for the division?
They're legit. They could compete for the division. They would need, they're going to need to continue to play this well. They'll probably pick it up even more, and they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to win probably 11 or 12 games to win the division. I don't think Seattle is going to lose many games. I'm not sure on San Francisco. I liked them to make the postseason entering the year. I think that I wasn't overwhelmed with what I've seen these first 4 weeks from them. I think the Rams aren't completely out of it yet, but they didn't really show a lot of great signs in those first 3 weeks. The best thing you can say about Arizona is they finished strongly in their games. They've overcome 3 fourth-quarter deficits, but, you know, I think longer term you want a team that's going to get out to a lead and try to hold it as opposed to playing the comeback game. That usually signals that, you know, you're not doing enough early on, and you know, over the longer term, that probably signals that you're not the strongest of teams. And I think, you know, Denver's probably an order too much for them to handle. And, you know, and Seattle's at least of that caliber, if not more so. So I think that Arizona has questions, but they have 3 wins. And really, in that division and in the playoff race, they've done the most important thing thus far, which is take care of business. They just have to continue stacking up those wins.
Mike, from the looking at a New York Jets perspective, what needs to happen for Michael Smith or for Michael Vick to take over the starting role from Geno Smith?
I don't know. You know, I think that, you know, you're probably trending towards maybe that being a potential sort of choice for them. I think that the time to have made that change is probably now, I would say. Their next 3 games, San Diego, they've got Denver, and they've got New England. You know, when looking at the schedule last week, and I looked at this Detroit game, they were one of the first teams I looked at where I said, you know, their season is on the brink right now if they don't win. And they didn't win. And so now, I mean, they're underdogs at San Diego of 7 points. That's one of the 5 worst matchups they could have. Their secondary's hurting. I mean, the Chargers are playing wonderfully. They're in great form. I mean, it's one of the worst matchups the Jets could get. I mean, it's a really bad draw. So I guess the question is, if it keeps sliding away and you don't go to Michael Vick now, then you probably stick with Geno Smith and you just say we need the year to make an evaluation, because then we're going to have more games in the sample size with which to make the decision. And I think he's done some nice things this year. You know, I really do. And I think there's moldable talent there. But, you know, when you're 1-3 in that market, you're going to get some scrutiny, and that's kind of where they are right now. But, you know, yeah, this is a vital game for him coming up against San Diego. And I don't think it's the greatest of matchups at all for that team.
And lastly for you, Mike, Monday Night Football between the Patriots and the Chiefs. What can we expect from this matchup tonight?
It's a million-dollar question, because I think that it really comes down to New England, doesn't it? Because, yeah, the Chiefs are in this game, but aren't we watching because we want to know if New England is still New England? That's why you really sort of get into this game, where you say, you know, is New England going to stand up and play maybe like they did versus Minnesota in Week 2? And even in that game, they worked great offensively. But we need one of those games where, you know, New England, they're favored. They go in there and they look like New England. And they just sort of, you know, they go in lockstep and just take apart a team. Kansas City is eminently, you know, take apartable, so to speak, to coin a phrase that I think no one else would coin. They're eminently vulnerable, I would say. But can New England do it is the question. Are they good enough to take apart a team like the Chiefs? I don't know. I kind of think the Chiefs have a chance in this game, given on what New England done in these first 3 games. But if New England plays back to their best form of past seasons, they probably win, and they probably win going away. But I think that what nobody can quite figure out is whether or not New England can reach back and generate that kind of performance.
Mike, appreciate the rundown. Enjoy Monday Nighter.
I'm stunned I didn't get a Dolphins question. It was great yesterday. You must be on cloud nine, right, Jason? Am I correct?
You know what, Mike? It's funny. We talked about it earlier. I was like, the Raiders are so bad that even my Dolphins look great against them right now. I try to be tempered by spanking the hell out of the Raiders, and now they get the bye week, and we'll see what happens afterwards. Yeah, like, at least they just didn't barely win. At least they crushed them, because Oakland, I'm just amazed at how bad that team is.
You know, you got to take progress where you get it. You got to take the wins. It's one of those things sometimes coaches say, I can only coach my team, whatever the case may be. You can only play the team opposite of you. They came out and they played well. You give them all the credit in the world. Nice rebound. Now let's see what they do after the bye. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you wanted to see as a Dolphins fan and as somebody that observes that team. You wanted to see that performance. So a real nice performance, one of the better ones of the day, certainly.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? Lamar Miller's looking better all the time, so that's good, because I also have him in fantasy. So that's an extra bonus. Mike, good talking to you, man. They do have a good test after the bye week when they face the Packers, so that'll be good.
That's a step up in classes.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, appreciate it, Mike.
All right, guys, take care.